Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham, I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, we are heading to New York to find out about how private credit in the US is booming. I'm joined by Francesca Friday, who is a senior private equity reporter, and Pooja Sarkar, who is a reporter for auctions and antitrust. Hi, Pooja. Hi, Francesca. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So starting with you, Francesca, could you talk through what activity is looking like so far this year, please?
Right. So over the past decade, private credit managers have raised more than $1 trillion and more than $130 billion of that in last year alone. Now, all of that fundraising has left the private credit industry with over $300 billion in dry powder, aka capital that is available to lend but hasn't been deployed yet. So there's a lot of opportunity for new deals on the horizon, but it's also important to point out that fundraising has recently cooled down. Private credit is a $1.7 trillion industry, but it's currently enduring one of the worst fundraising slumps since the pandemic in 2020. Now, why is that? Inflation remains stubbornly high, and the Federal Reserve has warned investors that interest rates could stay up for longer, meaning private credit managers are competing for that investor capital against fixed income managers, credit investments, all types of investments that are considered a bit safer and more reliable in times of economic uncertainty. And nothing says economic uncertainty like an election year. So I think private credit dealmakers are preparing for an even more difficult fundraising year, and they're hoping for the best.
Thank you. And we'll be coming back to that point on the election a bit later on. So Pooja, coming to you, could you explain why private credit's become more popular in recent years?
If you look at private credit as an asset class, over the last decade, it has been growing consistently. But when it came to 2021, that was the largest year for PE buyouts also. So if when you do a buyout, you need capital, and you need capital financing, which is flexible. Flexibility and also the fact that you could get cheaper capital during the pandemic made it like a favorite asset class. But now that interest rates have gone up, I mean, we are looking at one interest rate cut during this year, the end of the year. But even then, private credit is something that is easier to get access to. You can do flexible transactions. You can have prepayment terms. The terms are far easier. And private credit guys are sitting on so much capital that they're ready to underwrite these transactions far more easily than before.
And Francesca, coming back to you, can we look at those who need the funding of private credit? What's the demand for private credit amongst businesses in the US?
Okay, so to understand the fundraising environment in the United States right now, we have to rewind back to last year when private equity executives like Blackstone President Jonathan Gray were declaring this golden moment for private credit. That was because markets were on a roller coaster and a lot of banks stopped lending to companies in distress out of fear that they were taking on too much risk because these companies were having such issues with massive piles of debt. So that created a window of opportunity for large private credit firms like Ares Management, Sixth Street, HPS Investment Partners, and Blue Owl to step in and fill that void. So these private credit managers have something that traditional banks just can't offer. They can give these billion-dollar loans, taking on much more risk, and it gives these struggling companies a lifeline when they're staring down the possibility of defaults and really messy bankruptcies.
And could you talk through the types of businesses that are needing private credit? You mentioned bankruptcies. Is it only distressed businesses that need private credit?
Sure. So you have your big distressed U.S. corporations, but you also have large private equity deals that used to borrow money from traditional banks to fuel those big leverage buyouts that are no longer able to tap that same source of funding. So they're turning to private credit managers instead. One big example we saw last year was KKR-owned veterinary hospital PetVet, which had more than $3 billion in loans in need of refinancing, and they were continuously turned away by traditional banks. Then they ended up striking a deal with big private lenders such as Blue Owl Capital, and they were able to recapitalize their debt and keep things afloat for a little bit longer until things turned around.
And Pooja, coming back to you, this year, a resurgence of M&A activity globally has mainly been driven by the US. Could you talk about the relationship between private credit and M&A and what role private credit is playing in M&A and whether that's growing?
Yes. I mean, if you look at any M&A activity, it requires financing, and large M&As are now making a comeback. We looked at the merger market first half of this year report. North America has led the deal volume across the globe. If you compare Asia Pac or EMEA region, North America is at the tipping point, and the deal volumes have reached around $865 billion for the first half of the year, which is far higher than what it was last year. And some of these transactions are led by some very large transactions. For example, Capital One did a $35.3 billion acquisition of Discover Financial, Discover selling another asset of its. And if you look at it, even in the oil and gas space, for example, ConocoPhillips did a transaction. Some of these very large transactions require debt financing. And that's why we've seen a lot of private credit guys come in and swoop in on these transactions. Recently, we saw this transaction it's a steel company, is a North American steel company. And they were saying that they're going to look at transactions. They're going to do asset-backed lending. They're going to do different types of lending just to acquire this asset so that they're able to prepay the loan. So people are looking at very flexible loan terms. And at this point of time, the amount of money that private credit lenders are sitting on, companies and especially corporates are finding it easier to get easier loan terms and deals done because it's easier to find, oh, I want to do a portion of this with ABL or we are going to do a portion of this with something else. So the kind of structuring that you can do on a single deal has increased because you have so much capital right now with you.
Yeah, and I guess those really big deals that you were mentioning, it would be impossible for them to get the financing from one source or in one way.
Yes.
And you've mentioned it a few times. There's no escaping it. There's an upcoming election in the US with some major developments in recent weeks. How do your sources expect the election to impact the private credit market? And how has it impacted it so far?
So the thing to remember here is that private credit and M&A are very deeply intertwined. There's going to be instability no matter which way the election goes. History has proven that elections bring volatility and uncertainty to financial markets, which in turn leads to a slowdown in deal making because buyers and sellers can't seem to agree on prices, given all the question marks about what the market will look like post-election. That being said, the results of the election could result in changes in the regulatory landscape, which does have a heavy impact on private credit. Should the Democrats remain in the White House, we could see stricter regulations on private lenders, particularly in terms of transparency and reporting requirements, due to fears that the private credit market has grown large enough to impact other aspects of the financial system. You may remember during Joe Biden's term, he brought in some heavyweights into the Department of Justice's antitrust division, like Jonathan Cantor, and they installed a lot of rules to crack down on private equity. We could see something similar with private credit. Conversely, a Trump win could bring on a more relaxed regulatory environment, and that could encourage further growth in the private credit sector as big asset managers are emboldened to take on more risk and bigger loans than traditional banks can currently offer.
In fact, just to add on to it, when it comes to an election year traditionally, and this is also something that the people at Deckard were saying, that if you look at any traditional election year, M&A activity usually slows down, PE buyout, these kind of transactions actually quite slow down. But 2008 was an anomaly because of the global financial crisis happened. But if you look at a normal year, like a 2016, deal volume actually slows down. But this year, we haven't seen a slowdown. Like people were expecting that there could be volatility if there is an election result that market is not expecting. But if you look at it, deal volumes are actually pretty high this year. People are still going out and doing transactions.
Wonderful. We'll be watching it closely. Pooja and Francesca, thanks very much. That was Pooja Sarkar, who is a reporter for Auctions and Antitrust, and Francesca Friday, a senior private equity reporter. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Markets. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about in this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.